Let's read that psalm together. Psalm 57. Psalm 57, the verse that we will look at, is the first verse. The Word of God at Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and Thy truth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. Thus far we read God's holy word. We look this evening at that first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we look at Psalm 57, verse 1 this evening under the theme, Refuge in the Shadow of God's Wings. Refuge in the Shadow of God's Wings. Three things. We look first at strong calamities. In the second place, safe refuge. And in the third place, true peace. Beloved, when we look at Psalm 57, verse 1, and what this psalm means for us today, where we must begin is where the psalmist ends. And the psalmist in verse 1 ends with the calamities. He brings up calamities and he says concerning these calamities, until they be overpassed. When David mentions calamities in this text, what we must understand is that he is referring most literally to storms. Storms that you would see outside. Strong storms, huge and billowing storms. Strong wind and dousing rain. Loud thunder and bright lightning. And that fits with what we'll get to in the second point of this sermon, the safe refuge, the safety from the storm outside. But that's the idea of the calamities in the text. The storms are a figure of what we go through here on this earth. But as is the case with the storms outside, the storm does not go on and on and on, never to end. The storm comes to an end, and then the sun comes out, and there's periods of good weather and sunshine. We see in this, even in the weather outside, a figure for our lives. The ebbs and flows of our lives. There's periods of storm, but there's also periods of respite and calm in sunshine. And beloved, when we look back on what was this year, 2011, we see very clearly the full spectrum of the weather in our lives. There was, in this year gone by, periods of sunshine. We experienced in 2011 many a blessing and many a joy. We experienced that as a congregation. Look at the bulletin that was printed for the service tonight. Many baptisms in this church. We saw an increase in our membership as a church. And I don't say that to indicate that numbers are an indication of the blessing of God, but that increase came largely in the way of children. What a joy that was in this year gone by. Covenant parents, fathers and mothers, presenting their covenant children for baptism. In this past year, as a congregation, we experienced the joy of peace and unity as a congregation. And that's something that we will continue to pray for fervently in this year that lies ahead of us, that God would continue to give us unity as a body of Christ. If we were to list all of the joys that we experienced in this year and go into detail concerning them, the sermon would go on and on and on. Could fill several sermons just talking about that. Joys as a congregation, we had periods of sunshine as a denomination, but also in our families as well. We had peace and unity in our families. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents saw their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren grow up in the knowledge and fear of God. We see maturity among our children, not only physically, but spiritually. As parents and as a church, we saw marriages, godly marriages, Christian young women marrying in the Lord Christian young men. And the same is true there for families, on and on in the periods of sunshine, but storms as well. Calamities too. Fierce calamities and strong storms. And that's the focus tonight. And we don't bring this up tonight to put a damper on the last day of the year as we look back. Talking about the calamities of the year gone by. That's not why we bring this up. The purpose is not the calamities. The purpose is what we will get to. And that's our joy. It's the refuge and the peace and the safety that we had in God in this past year. But to get to there, we need to see the calamities first. And that's where we begin right now. And that's the context of Psalm 57, and that's the focus of this psalm. The inspired writer of Psalm 57 was David. The title of Psalm 57 indicates that. And David wrote Psalm 57 while he was going through a fierce storm. He was right in the midst of one of the great storms of his life. The title of this psalm indicates what that storm was for David. He wrote this psalm while he fled from Saul in a cave. I don't know if the pulpit or if the pew Bibles have the titles underneath the headings of the psalm, but mine does. And it says that David wrote this psalm while he was in a cave fleeing from Saul. That can help us in pinpointing when it was that David wrote this psalm. There were at least two occasions during the life of David in which he fled from Saul and found himself in a cave. 1 Samuel 22 records one of them when he was in the cave at Adullam, and 1 Samuel 24 records a second incident in which that was the case for David at En-Gedi. But in the end, it doesn't matter when it was that David wrote this psalm. The point is this: he was in a troubling, distressing, disturbing circumstance. He felt a fierce storm in his life at that time. He wondered in a very real way if his life would be taken very shortly after he wrote this psalm. And the first half of this psalm is really a description of the calamity that David found himself when he wrote this psalm. Look at verse 3. He speaks in graphic terms of him that would swallow him up. Verse 4 speaks of it also: "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword." David was in a troubling circumstance when he wrote this psalm. David wondered if his very life would be taken. He felt the fierce storm. And that was us. In this year gone by, we felt the storms of this life. We felt the storm when it comes to the infirmities of our bodies, sicknesses, surgeries, diseases, wondering, will I make it through? Will God keep me through this circumstance? We felt in the year gone by the storm of the very practical matters in our lives, money. Pay the budget, you give to the poor, and you wonder, how will the tuition be paid for? How will the bills be paid for? How will we put food on the table for my family? Making it very difficult to live in contentment and to live trusting in God. We felt the storm in our relationships. A moment ago we said peace, unity, fellowship in our families and with friends, but that's not always the case. And we felt that in a very real way. The soul that struggled may have been in that cave alone. Nobody even knew that I was going through this fierce storm in my life. We as a congregation and as saints have felt the calamities of this life. And the psalmist speaks of these calamities in the context of time. He says in the text, until these calamities be overpassed. And the implication of that is that the calamities will eventually pass over. Now there are a couple of different ways to look at that. One is this way, that in this life, the storms and the calamities will pass over. And that, in a certain sense, is true. That was true for David. David did not all his life live in that cave, and all his life spend his time fleeing from the bitter and jealous Saul. Eventually, that came to a close for him. Eventually, he stood as king of Israel, enjoyed the peace and prosperity of the nation. In this life, the storms will pass to a certain extent. Because there's another way to look at this text, a just as legitimate way. And that way is this: the storms do not pass in this life. And the passing of the storm will only be when Jesus Christ returns, or when God takes us to glory. And we can look at the text that way because that's the reality of the life of the child of God. The psalmist elsewhere writes, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The storms characterize who we are as the people of God." They're always there, and the reason they're always there is because we can trace the root and the source of the calamities. And the root and source of the calamities in our life is the most constant thing that is ever in our life, and that is sin. All of the calamities of our life arise out of that root. And what that means is this: you may go through, and you may have gone through in the year gone by, a terrible storm, but then that period of the hurricane-like wind stops. That may be the case, but you continue to go on. And what is still present in your life? It's the calamity of sin. In a certain sense, beloved, we do not escape here on this earth the calamities and the storms in our lives. And that's why we need protection and we need safety from those storms. We could have preached this sermon tomorrow night for New Year's Day and looked forward and said, in this year to come, we will face these calamities and we will need the refuge and safety of God. We could have done that just as well. But tonight is Old Year's, which means we look back. And when we look back in the face of these storms, we can say this. We can say this with thankfulness in our hearts, with joy in our hearts even. God was with us. God protected us. And God gave us safety through all of the storms we experienced in the year that was 2011. So let's see that now. Let's see the safe refuge or the safety that we find in God. The calamities that we face force us to seek refuge. Any person who's outside and knows that a storm will be coming or finds himself in the midst of a fierce, terrible, or thunderstorm is a fool if he does not seek refuge. The cold of the storm, the rain of the storm, the wind of the storm will destroy a man. Refuge is needed from the fierce storm. And David understood that. And in the experience that he was going through, he went to the only person that he could go to find safety from that storm in his life. He went to God. And he describes that with a figure in the text. He describes it this way: finding refuge or safety in the shadow of God's wings. He calls to mind in the text the image of a bird, a father or a mother, who spreads out his wings. He pulls or she pulls to themselves the baby birds, so that while they're outside, the mother or the father bears the brunt of the storm. But underneath those wings, close to the mother or the father, there is warmth, there is safety, and there is protection. That's the figure that David uses, and he applies it to God. And he says concerning God, God has the most powerful wings imaginable. Wings that can protect me from the difficulties in my life. It's striking how many times the Bible uses that imagery. Protection under the shadow of God's wings. It's a powerful image to show what God does for us and what God did for us in the year that was gone by. A couple of other passages make that clear. We sang from a couple of them. Psalm 17, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Another is Psalm 61, verse 4, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." And now, beloved, we make it real. And we make it practical. In the year gone by, we were protected under the shadow of God's wings. We were protected in those matters that we brought up a moment ago, the infirmities of the body. Some went through very difficult circumstances when it comes to health. And through that, God protected us. And it was not in simply this. There were no deaths in the congregation in the year gone by. You look at the bulletin tonight. If there was a death, that would have been listed on the bulletin, I imagine. There were none. That's not an indication of being under the shadow of God's wings. The indication of being under the shadow of God's wings is this. We went through those experiences and we were confident that no matter what would happen, it was the will of God and He gave us grace and He gave us strength in those matters. We were protected under the shadow of God's wings when it comes to the very practical, physical things of this life. We had, in the year gone by, shelter from the cold, clothes for our backs, food for our stomachs. Beloved, for the struggling saint, who no one else knew was struggling, there was protection under the shadow of God's wings. When no one else seemed to be there, someone was there. Someone was near. Someone was giving safety through the struggles of this life. And that was God. In the year gone by, we have been protected and found refuge under the shadow of God's wings. Every one of us has. Every one of us who looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, because ultimately that is the calamity of this life, sin. Because those wings under which we find our refuge are the wings that are covered in the very blood of Christ. Refuge in God is found in and through Jesus Christ. Now that did not mean that we did not experience the reality of sin in the year gone by. Being under the shadow of God's wings does not mean that we will not have to deal with sin. Never will that be the case on this side of the grave. But what it does mean is this. Being under the shadow of God's wings, we heard from God, "You are covered. Your sins are forgiven. You are righteous in and through the Lord Jesus Christ." With thanksgiving to God, with joy in our hearts, tonight we say, at the end of the year, we had refuge in the storms of our life under the shadow of God's wings. Now, we need to understand that for God's people, we never will be outside of those wings of God. God will never let us go. If He brings us to Himself, He will never let us escape from that protection. But you may ask this, what if I didn't experience it? What if I didn't know that I was under the shadow of God's wings in the year gone by? And that's why it's necessary to keep digging into this text and to see that the way we experience safety in God is in the way of trusting in Him When we seek God and when we trust in God, then we will experience safety in the shadow of God's wings. And we can look back on the year and see that that's the case as well. Because what's the opposite of that? The opposite is this. In the face of the storms of this life, instead of looking to God, seeking refuge in God, where do we look? We look to ourselves. Or we look to something else. End of the year. It's a time to see the faithfulness of God, but it's also a time to look back at ourselves. And when we look back at ourselves, we're humbled because we see our own weaknesses and our own sinfulness. In the face of the storms of this life, every one of us very concretely can probably say in the year gone by, instead of looking to God, instead of seeking refuge in God, this is what I did. I looked to myself, or I looked to that, or I looked to this. You fill in the blank for your life. And when that's the case, you don't experience the way that God wills us to experience safety in the refuge of God's wings. And that's why it's experienced in the way of trusting in God. And we could see that in the year gone by when we did seek Him consciously, spiritually in our lives. Then He worked through that, the knowledge and experience of protection in Him. Literally, the text says, when it says, "My soul trusteth in thee," that word "trusteth" is the exact same word as refuge at the end of the text. Really, it says, "My soul is seeking refuge in thee." The question is this, how do we do that? Many different ways that we seek refuge in God. But if we stick to the text, one of the great ways that we do that is through prayer. Psalm 57 is a prayer of David. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." And then he makes that clear in verse 2. "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." How, you ask, do you manifest in your life this seeking and trusting in God? Through prayer. Pray. Pray. And pray. And now we're in a certain sense not talking about the past, but talking about the present, but that's okay. This is how we do this. In this way we will experience what God has done for us. What do you pray? Start with what He says at the beginning of the verse. "Be merciful unto me, O God." Be merciful unto me. Literally, have compassion upon me. Have favor upon me. When you pray those words in so many words, you are saying, "I'm lost in and of myself. Oh God, protect me. If it's up to myself, I will be destroyed in the circumstances of this life." When you pray these words, you are saying, it's only under the shadow of Thy wings that we find safety. And beloved, when we do that, when we do that, we experience wonderful peace. True peace. That's the gospel tonight. The gospel is peace and safety. Because, beloved, when you don't trust in the shadow of God's wings and when you look to yourself or something else, it's not peace, it's not safety. It's disrest and distress of soul. But when you look to God, and when we look to Him in the past year, there was true peace. There was true safety. So that we can say, doesn't matter what God sends my way, it can be the strongest storm you can ever imagine. In that, being under the shadow of God's wings, I have peace and I have safety. And in that state, when that's the case for us, then we can do what the psalmist does. There he was in that cave, fleeing from Saul. Put yourself in David's shoes. See your own lives. Then, when we have peace, we can do what David does in the psalm and glorify God. That's the second part of the psalm. Hear the refrain in verse 5 and 11. Be thou exalted, O God, above all the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. We glorify God. We glorify God in all that we do. Beloved, in the year 2011, we experienced and we are thankful for the safety and refuge we had in God. And now we peek ahead to tomorrow night. Not a text like this, but nevertheless, we peek ahead to New Year's Day. And we pray to God that He would give us that same safety. Pray to God that we would continue day by day to trust in Him and find refuge in the storms of this life only under the shadow of God's wings. Amen. Beloved, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that at the end of the year we could open up Thy Word and hear it explained. We pray, Father, that we might take this to heart. We are thankful that in the year gone by, in the passing of the calamities of the year gone by, we had safety and refuge in Thee. And our prayer is that Thou wilt continue in the year to come. Forgive, Father, what was said or what was heard in sin, and bless the remainder of our worship as we sing unto Thee. For Jesus' sake, amen.